ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana, verse number 37. Imantum atitishtasva. Purinavamukhim vibho maya mayopanitan grihna kama bhogan shatam samah imantam atitishtasva purinavamukhim vibho मायापते माय मायापनीतान गृह्णानः कामभोगांशतं समाः इमां त्वम् अतितिष्ठस्व पुरीन्नवमुखीं विभो मायापनीतान गृह्णानः काम भोगान शतम समाह।
Word to a translation. Imam,
this.
Tvam, your good self. Atitishtasva, just remain. Purim, in the city. Navamukhim,
with nine gates.
Vibho,
oh
my Lord,
Maya,
by me. Upanitan,
arranged.
Grihnanaha,
taking.
Kama bhogan,
the materials for sense gratification.
Shatam,
a hundred.
Samaha,
years.
Translation: my dear Lord, I have just arranged the city of nine gates for you so that you can have all kinds of sense gratification. You may live here for 100 years and everything for your sense gratification will be supplied. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki dharmartha kama mokshanam dara samprapti hetava. The wife is the cause of all kinds of success in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimately salvation. When one accepts a wife, it is to be understood that he is being helped in his progressive march towards liberation. In the beginning of life, a person is trained as a brahmachari and is then allowed to marry a suitable girl and become a householder. If one is thoroughly trained in household life, he finds all facilities for human life: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Everything is there if it is executed according to regulative principles. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swa Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hear this translation once again. My dear Lord, I have just arranged the city of nine gates for you so that you can have all kinds of sense gratification. You may live here for 100 years and everything for your sense gratification will be supplied. If we speak this as our philosophy, I think we will have a lot of following. We won't have enough space in this temple room. People do want to identify with their desires. If we ask someone, what do you want? We will provide everything for your sense gratification. You are all devotees, so you don't have material desires. But putting yourself in the shoes of a materialist, what would you say? Whatever you want, we will provide you. What will be your answer? Give some answers.
Name, fame, wealth.
Name, fame, wealth. Anything else?
Wife.
A wife? You already have a wife. Maybe you have to give more attributes to the wife. Such and such kind. Maybe wealthy, maybe beautiful, all attractive. So you can give the list. Right? And people become very open when we ask this kind of questions. How can I serve you? What do you want for your sense gratification? Here is the list. People, in general, do identify with desires. For example, when you give a talk, especially young Western audience, if you say good things, okay, what are your desires? What are your plans? Then people are very happy to open up. They want to say, okay, I want to do that. I want to go here. I want to fly here. There is an unlimited list of desires and they feel very comfortable. This is so wonderful that here is someone who is really interested in our desires. And here it is going to the next level. That is, okay, we are here to fulfill your desires. And if you go to the previous verse, it even goes a little bit ahead. O killer of the enemy, you have somehow or other come here. This is certainly great fortune for me. I wish all auspicious things for you. You have a great desire to satisfy your senses. And all my friends and I shall try our best in all respects to fulfill your desires. Here are assistants for sense gratification. So this is what people are looking for. People consider friends who can help in one's sense gratification, and they find enemies if somebody is trying to take away one's sense gratification. So this is the definition of friends and enemies. Who will help in sense gratification and who will not? Of course, if you talk about the emotional distresses, people do identify with that also. If you talk about how to deal with the negativities, how to deal with addiction, how to deal with anger, if you talk about these kind of topics and if you present the problems the people are going through, yes, people do identify. Yes, this is what I'm going through. This is what I'm going through. Because it gets very well resonated with those who are having those kind of troubles. So emotional experiences, whether it is positive or negative, we do get identified with those. And that we can see when we speak to people. And of course, the motivational speakers, they are showing the dreams. Okay, here is a person who didn't have much, but he has achieved that. Gives the inspiration and we do get identified with those inspirations and we develop those kind of desires in our heart. So here, assume you can get whatever you want in this material world. You want a house? Yeah, by the beach? We'll get you. You want a beautiful body? We'll get you. You want to be a millionaire? For sure. You want to be a billionaire? Yes, that also can be provided. Do you want to fly? Yes, we will provide that. Whatever you want, we can provide you. But there is one condition. What is that condition? We will come anytime. It can be 1 to 100 years, any number, we will come, we will kill you and snatch everything away from you. This is the condition. We will give you everything, whatever you want, no problem, but one day we will come, kill you and take everything from you. This is material existence. One can get birth anywhere, in the higher planets, in the lower planets, in the middle planets, in any species, one can have unlimited enjoyment according to material calculations. But it is ending, it has an end, and it will be snatched away, causing a lot of pain. So here it is mentioned, the Varnashram system is progressive. One may start as a brahmachari and move up to a grihastha, then to a vanaprastha, which is a retired life, and then finally sannyas or complete renunciation. So that's why Prabhupada called this verse dharmartha kama mokshanam dhara samprapti hetava. So dhara means a wife. So the purpose is not just sense gratification, but performing religious duties and ultimately moving towards liberation. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, first chapter. Prabhupada says, there is the purposes of life. Here all the purposes are given. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Dharma, if you perform duties, religious duties, then as a result, one will get Artha. Facilities, wealth, etc. Then when one has such facilities, then one enjoy the senses. That is dharma, artha, kama. Then when one is frustrated with that, then one tries for liberation. That is moksha. So everything is connected. Dharma, artha, kama and moksha. However, in the current society, there is no dharma. There is only start from artha, kama. And there is no moksha also. Artha and kama. So it starts from artha. How to make money without following dharma? That is material civilization. Or it's not, we cannot say it's a civilization, but it's a material world. And there is wealth and then sense gratification. And when he's frustrated, try more sense gratification. Then one gets more frustrated. This is the cycle that which runs, because there is no higher knowledge. So when there is Vedic knowledge, one understands that one can go beyond the suffering. The human form is not entitled for such kind of sufferings. Rather, one can make a solution to the material problems. Then one becomes a Brahmana. Brahmana is not a caste. People think it's a caste. No. Brahmana means one who is spiritually realized. Brahmajanati iti Brahmana. The opposite is Kripana, means miserly. Having the human form which has the highest capacity, still we are not utilizing this human body for the highest purpose. Yes, one can live a life, one can make a living, there's no problem with that, but one has to use this form for the highest purpose of enlightenment. In Bhagavatam, in the 5th canto, Rishabdev teaches his sons about the problems of this world. He very clearly explains the problems of sense gratification. Sense enjoyment, even though it may look very natural, very innocent, but it has consequences. Very stringent, very strict, severe consequences. So, Rishabdev says, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma, yet indriya preeti aprnoti. He says, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. Who does vikarma? Vikarma means all the sinful activities. Yet indriya preetir apranoti. If one's mind is filled with desires for sense gratification, to fill those sense gratificatory desires, one can perform any sinful activities. One becomes blinded by desire for sense gratification. It is a reality. There is millions and millions of animals are being slaughtered. Why? Indriya Preeti. Just for the tongue. After that everything is same. Nonsense. So it is just for the tongue. Indriya Preeti. And just for sense gratification, one can commit murder. So many murders have been committed just for sense gratification. To achieve something, someone coming on the way, just remove, wipe them off. Political murders. You can see. So many wars for sense gratification. So many sinful activities. Why? Because of sense gratification. When sense gratification is in forefront of our consciousness, then what happens? Then once one gets blinded and one can perform any kinds of sinful activity. So, na sadhumanye yata atmano yam asanabhi kleshada asadehi. So it is mentioned. So one better not perform sense gratification because that is going to bind the living entity. So when a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. So sense gratification is the objective of life. Then one has to do anything to achieve that. Whereas in the Vedic scripture, there is some license given. This dharma, artha, kama, it is also, kama is sense gratification, but there are some boundaries defined. Okay, you want to do sense gratification? Okay, you can do sense gratification, but here is the limit. Just do sense gratification within the limit. So that is called varnashram. So that one doesn't become degraded. One wants to enjoy sex life, okay, get married, there are regulations. Don't do like cats and dogs. So there are regulations given. And what is the purpose? For the children. So there is a purpose is given. Take the responsibilities. In that way, for everything, there are restrictions that helps the living entity not to degrade. At the same time, if one actually follows the principles of Vedas, then gradually one makes progress. So that's why I mentioned in this purport. Dharma, artha, kama. It's not just kama. Then moksha is also mentioned. For that, dara, samprapti, hetava. Dara means the wife. Then it is okay. One can at least make gradual progress towards Krishna consciousness. That is the whole purpose. Then, so that's why it is mentioned. So what happens? He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Material body means misery. Do we think like that? No, this is a vehicle for enjoyment. It's an instrument for enjoyment. Why do we have such a wrong conception? Or why are we very pessimistic about this material body? Saying, you know, it's causing all the miseries. Just wait and see. The body can give way more miseries than enjoyment. There is no comparison how much misery the body can give compared to the tiny amount of enjoyment that the body can give. So, the point is, this material enjoyment is only in the mind. Planning stage, all the imagining, fantasizing, one feels, yeah, there is enjoyment in acquiring wealth. There is enjoyment in having a bigger house. There is enjoyment having a partner. These are fantasies. When we are fantasizing, one tries to enjoy. But when one is in that situation, then there is no enjoyment. It is fleeting, it is just gone. This is the trick. This is the trick of Maya. This is the trick of Maya. So the mind is a plan-making machine. So Prahlad Maharaj says in the 7th canto, 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada wonderfully explains that stop making plans for sense gratification. Those who are wealthy, they enjoy more making plans. That is, I will have such a skyscraper. I will own that. I will own this. The plan making gives them the pleasure, and when they actually get that, then the bubble is already burst. There is nothing there. Or peeling the onion. Devotees, we don't do, but still. You peel the onion, one layer is gone, next layer is gone,
Finally, we are looking, yeah, something is going to come, something is going to come. But at the end, there is nothing. This is sense gratification. So Veda says, don't get into it. Don't get into it. Be wise. This is intelligence. So human being, we have to be wise. We have to be courageous to say no to sense gratification. That is real intelligence. Saying no to, first to plan making. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 9th chapter, Prahlad Maharaj again says, he makes it very clear, Tasamaham Tanubhridam Ahamasushotnya. He says, oh, I know everything about living entity sense gratification. Tasmat amun stanubhridam aham ashishanya. Aham, I, ashisha. Ashisha, you know the word ashisha. Ashisha means all the desires. Yeah, I know the desires of all living entities. Tanubhridam. Tanubhridam means one who has obtained, one who has accepted a material body. Then he explains. Because he's speaking from his own experience. Even though a young boy, just 5 years old, he has experience of spiritual and material energy. He has actually seen from his father what he has gone through. So, tasmad amun stanipradam ahamashishotnya ayushriyam vaibhom aindriyam avirinjyat. Oh, I know what he can get by ayu, that is longevity. He had great longevity, his father, Hiranyakashipu. Shriyam, opulence. He had all kinds of opulence. Vaibhom, he had the power to control everything. He could influence everyone by Bhumi Vrijanam Pena. Just by expanding his eyebrows, all the demigods were coming and paying obeisances to Hiranyakashipu. Aindriyam, all kinds of sense gratification. Avirinjyat, up to Virinchi. Virinchi means Lord Brahma. Avirinjyat, up to the platform of Brahmaloka. He has seen everything. So in other words, Prahlad Maharaj is telling, like senior devotee says, you know, look, I have done that, I have experienced, don't do that. In the same, even though you're just a young boy, 5 years, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining, I have done, you know, I have seen everything. Then he says, Nechami te vilitan urivikramena kalatmanopaniyamam jabhritya parshyam. Na ichami, I don't want that because I have seen through knowledge and through direct sense perception. Na ichami, I don't want. Te vilalutan. Because whatever it is, whatever sense gratification, whatever one can attain, they are vilalutan. Vilalutan means it is deteriorating. Temporary. How it is temporating? Urivikramena kalatmana. Urivikramena. You know, here we have Lord Trivikram is there. Trivikram means huge steps, three steps. So, Uruvikramena means here, intense, fierce, very powerful. Kalatmana, in the form of time. So, Vilalitan, because of this. Uruvikramena, Kalatmana, Vilalitan. Because of power of time, everything will be finished, vanquished. All the power, all the energy, everything will be gone. So, Prahlad Maharaj says, Na ichami, I don't want. Then he, what is his prayer? Upaniyamam, please bring me close to Nija Bhritya Pashyam. Your pure devotee, the association, please take me to the service to your pure devotee. So this is the real prayer of a devotee. Because Prahlad Maharaj had access to unlimited wealth, he had access to everything because he inherited everything from his father, but he didn't have any interest. Nija Bhritya Pashyam. So we have that opportunity. The devotees means, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are meant to, and we do, and we also get knocked. Prabhu, come, get up. Stop sense gratification. Chant Hare Krishna, have prasadam. Enjoy spiritually. This is the mercy. So even though we didn't want, this is our real situation. Om jnana tibirantasya, I for shut my eyes. But jnananjana shalakaya. So, but the spiritual master has sent his representatives and personally, through books, through lectures, come through, and then, okay, now wake up.
Get this. So this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Today is a very special day. We are talking about sense gratification. And here Puranjana pastime is sense gratification. And then he gets burned in it. You know, his body also gets burned. And he goes to the next one, body as Puranjani, because he had the desire. He was attached to woman. So the material nature is such that, okay, you want to be with a woman, you want to look after the body of a woman, then no problem. You get yourself a body of a woman, so you can look after very nicely. So Puranjana becomes Puranjani in the next life. So that goes on. So here is a special day, because today is the disappearance day of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So now we will spend some time hearing about Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and that will be an inspiration for us to go beyond the desires for sense gratification. So by glorifying such exalted devotees, we also feel inspired to make some progress in our devotional life. So before speaking about Gaurkishore Das Babaji, we will read his pranati, his pranam mantra. I will read the first line and you can repeat after me.
Namo Gaurakishoraya,
Sakshal Vairagya
Murtaye,
Vipralambhara Sambhode,
Padam
Bhujayate
Namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, the spiritual master of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is renunciation personified. He is always merged in a feeling of separation and intense love of Krishna. And now we will speak about Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, a great exalted Vaishnava. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was born around in 1930s in Faridapura in Bangladesh. So no one knows exactly the birth date or birth year of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But we know that he was born in 1830s and in Faridapura in East Bengal, currently Bangladesh. His father was Vamshi Das, and he was a merchant by profession. So he was born in a Vaishya family. So they were in a merchant business family. And he was born in a place, this Faridapura. It was near Padma River. And in his young age itself, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was married. Because that time, in young age, they get married. That's the Vedic system. So Gaurkishore Das Babaji was married in early age, and he maintained his grihastha life about 20 years. Meanwhile, he was a broker to a grain merchant. So that was his profession. And even in his early times, he exhibited his advanced spiritual desires. So he was a devotee right from the beginning. He was completely inclined to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead even in his family life. But at one point, his wife passed away. And when his wife passed away, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he left Faridapura and he went to Vrindavan. So he decided that I have nothing to do with this material life or profession or making money or anything like that. Rather, let me go to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, that time, there was the disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. His name was Bhagavad Das Babaji Maharaj. So he took shelter of Bhagavad Das Babaji Maharaj and he started bhajan in Vrindavan. So later, all the great Vaishnavas in Vrindavan awarded him the title as a great Bhajanandi Vaishnava. Bhajanandi Vaishnava means one who takes pleasure in bhajan in worshipping the Lord. The opposite of that is a Goshtyanandi Vaishnava. A Goshtyanandi Vaishnava who takes all pleasure in sharing Krishna consciousness. Like Srila Prabhupada. He's a Goshtyanandi. But at the same time he's a Bhajanandi too. You know, he manifests all pleasure in doing bhajan. So two kinds of people. So here, Gaurakrishnadas Babaji was a Bhajanandi Vaishnava, and in 1897 he came to know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has erected a temple for Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu in his Janmasthan in Yogapeet. So, by the advice of the devotees, he decided to shift himself from Vrindavan to Mayapur. So, in 1897, he moved to Mayapur because he wanted to be in the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaurakrishnadas Das Babaji was known to be a Nirapeksha Vaishnava. Nirapeksha means indifferent. He didn't care about the external world. He was completely absorbed in his bhajan and he hardly bothered about anything else. At the same time, he was able to detect duplicity, deceitfulness in the so-called Vaishnavas or the so-called practitioners of spirituality. He was able to do that because he was in touch with the super soul. Since he was touching Krishna in the form of super soul, if somebody speaks something, he was able to identify what is the intention. What's really going on within the heart. He was able to find out. And he would give advice in that way. So since he was indifferent to this material world, he had no desire whatsoever about his body or any service anyone doing to his body. He was not interested at all. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, out of so much of care and affection for Gaurakrishnadas Babaji, he advised Gaurakrishnadas Babaji, "Babaji, we will make all the arrangement. Please go to Calcutta because your eyesight is deteriorating. You are almost blind. So please go to Calcutta. We can do an operation and you can get your eyesight back." Babaji Maharaj said, "Calcutta means illusion. So I will not go to Calcutta." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur told, "Don't worry. My son, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he will help you to go to Calcutta." He said, "Bhaktisiddhanta, he is my Prabhu. He is my Lord. How can I accept service from my Prabhu, my master?" He said, "No, it's not possible." Then they tried to pursue a little bit further. Then Gaurakrishnadas Babaji said, "If you ever speak like this, I will commit suicide in Ganges." He just left that place. And for 45 days, no one saw Gaurakrishnadas Babaji. And everyone was afraid. What happened to Babaji? And after 45 days, he returned. And he said, "Okay, I didn't commit suicide because if I commit suicide, I'll become a ghost. So that's not the solution to the problem. So I will continue my bhajan." And as we read his pranati, he's Sakshat Vairagya Murte. He is renunciation personified. He used to wear some old cloth lying anywhere. And what he used to eat? He used to eat rice soaked in water with chili. That was his diet. That's about it. Then sometimes he would eat Ganga mud from Ganga. He would just eat that. That was his diet. And he was not at all try to gratify his senses. Just opposite to that we discussed before. Here Puranjana is getting this invitation. You can enjoy as much as you want. All your desires will be fulfilled. It's exactly the opposite. He doesn't want to enjoy his senses at all. Bare minimum, as Srila Prabhupada says, keep the body and soul together. He was eating only that much. The very interesting pastime is that one devotee, one of his assistants, told Babaji Maharaj, "Today is Sanatan Goswami's appearance day." So Babaji Maharaj said, "Okay, we should celebrate. We should have a feast. So the assistant said, okay, shall I go all the bhoga? Said, we can cook a feast. We can have the sweet rice. We can have different dishes. We can have roti. We can have many sabjis. So Babaji Maharaj said, no, no, for the feast, we don't need any of these things. We will fast and we will chant all day. So that is the real feast. Oh, so this is what Babaji Maharaj is standing. So no sense gratification. Completely absorbed in Krishna. At the same time, he knew everything about scriptures. Everything. He was illiterate. He didn't study any books. But since he was in touch with Krishna, he knew all the scriptures. And he was able to clarify any doubts anyone had. So this is Babaji Maharaj. So he was completely self-realized. One time, one young devotee, he was a doctor by profession, he asked Babaji Maharaj, Babaji Maharaj, I want to move to Navadvip Dham because I want to beg from all the Vaishnavas there, and whatever donation I get, I want to make medicines and I want to cure the disease of all the people in the Dham. So first for that, I'll collect some money, I will make my small clinic, I will just live there, I'll beg, I'll make medicine and I'll serve the community in that way. So he asked Babaji Maharaj, can I do that? Babaji Maharaj said, no. You are trying to imitate Murari Gupta. Don't try to imitate Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. He had the cure for both the diseases. One is a physical disease and also Bhava Rog. He could give them Krishna Prem as well as he could cure them from normal material diseases. So don't try to imitate him. Don't try to sustain your life or maintain yourself just by begging in the Dham. Give up this mentality. If you are taking shelter of the Dham, only perform bhajan. Don't have the mentality, how can I maintain myself in the Dham? Give up that mentality. So he was so attached to the Dham that another Babaji wanted to purchase a piece of land in Mayapur. And a queen who owned a lot of land there, she said, I will give this piece of land to this Babaji. So when Gaurakrishnadas Babaji heard this, he said, who is this queen who owns land in the Dham? Who can own land in the Dham and who can purchase land in the Dham from this queen? Who is this Babaji who is able to purchase land in the Dham? Because Dham is made of gold, jewels and all unlimited wealth. And who has the ability, who has the wealth to buy a piece of land in the Dham? So that was the mood of Babaji Maharaj. So because he could see the Dham. Just like his own illustrious disciple, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. One time, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, along with his disciples, were walking in Mayapur. And it was, the atmosphere wasn't very good. It was stinking. It was a foul smell. So all the disciples, they covered their nose like this as they were walking. So Bhakti Siddhanta, he was completely oblivious to this. He said, what are you doing? Can't you experience the amazing fragrance of the Dham? Can you smell the fragrance of the Dham? So he was making the point that one who has got spiritual vision, they can experience the real Dham in Mayapur, not the external covering of Maya, the so-called Maya, just covering, that is separating us from the real Dham. So this was the position of Babaji Maharaj. One time, there was this landlord who posed himself to be a great devotee, and he had his assistant as well. So this landlord, he told his assistant that I want to hear the samvad, the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. So they said, okay, we will hear this samvad from Gaurakrishnadas Babaji. So first he sent his assistant to Babaji Maharaj. And his assistant had told Babaji Maharaj, we know that you are the greatest person from whom we can hear about the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. can you please tell us? And my landlord is a great devotee, he also wants to hear. Then Babaji Maharaj told, you need to be qualified to hear this intimate conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. The first qualification is, first you give up your landlord who is a rascal. Second, you hear Chaitanya Charitamrita in the association of bona fide devotees 100 times. After that, we can speak about Rai Ramananda Samvad. Before that, no. Then he said, now we don't have any time for such intimate things. Now Kirtan is going to start. He asked devotees, let's start a Kirtan. And if you want, you can sit in the Kirtan. So he was able to see what is the real need, what is the intent behind that person. Similarly, another brahmachari approached Babaji Maharaj and told, I want to learn Sanskrit and then I want to study Bhagavatam, and in that way, you know, I can become an elevated devotee. Babaji Maharaj told, you don't study Sanskrit. It is better if you don't study Sanskrit. Rather, you come and sit next to me. We will chant Hare Krishna and I will train you. But this person, he didn't listen. He went, he studied Sanskrit, and he became like a professional Bhagavatam reciter, and he got into all bad habits and he ruined himself. So Babaji Maharaj could see what is everyone's qualification. Similarly, one time a couple arrived from Mayapur. That time Babaji Maharaj wasn't there in Mayapur, he was elsewhere. So his servant told Babaji Maharaj, look, a devotee couple has come. Babaji Maharaj said, okay, they had to give some rupees to see me. he needed to give some money to see me. He was just joking, you know, he was just testing. So he went and told, he said, okay, we will give whatever Babaji wants. They came. So Babaji asked, where are you from? They said, we are from Mayapur. Immediately Babaji's mood changed. He said, you are such an amazing devotee, you are Dhamvasis. He said, please continue chanting. He became very, very merciful to them. And he said, I am so happy to get your association. So Babaji knew who is who. He was not blind. He knew everything. And his words were very sharp, as he described early. One time, another devotee, he approached Babaji Maharaj. And Babaji Maharaj chastised this devotee. So he strongly chastised his devotee. And that devotee, he left the association of all other devotees and he started his bhajan elsewhere. So this devotee was doing bhajan with Gorkishwara Babaji and other devotees. But one time Babaji chastised him very heavily. So he left the association of the devotees and started his own practice. But after some time, maybe after a few months, few years, he found a lot of difficulties with him. He found a lot of anarthas. He found himself very difficult to practice. That time, this person was sincere, so he approached Babaji Maharaj and he again came to the association of Babaji Maharaj. So Babaji Maharaj immediately noticed this devotee and asked him, oh, where did you go? What happened to you? So this devotee said, look, I was in the association of the devotees, but you know, you were using very harsh words, so I couldn't tolerate, so I left. Now I'm finding difficulty, so I came back. Then Babaji Maharaj told that in the association of the devotees, devotees may use harsh words, but it is only for your betterment. And you need to tolerate, and still you need to take the association of the devotees. Because you see, you may be in your family, your wife, your children, your relatives, they will use harsh words, but you are ready to tolerate. But when devotees are using some harsh words, you cannot tolerate. So rather you tolerate some of the chastisements of the devotees because they are speaking, because they are well-wishers. So please tolerate and continue bhajan in the association of the devotees. So this person was very nice person, so he continued his bhajan with Babaji Maharaj. So this was the kinds of pastimes of Babaji Maharaj. He was preaching, not necessarily, he was not a Goshtyanadi, he was approaching preaching, but in his own way he was preaching. So it is said that the Bhajanandis are no way lesser than Goshtyanandis. Even though they are taking pleasure in bhajan, we cannot consider themselves to be lower than Goshtyanandis. The reason is they are being inspired by Krishna as a super soul. So that's why they are they have taken that route in pleasing Krishna. Krishna is pleased with that. So that's why Babaji Maharaj continued his practice in that way. Time is running. So I will explain the main instructions of Babaji Maharaj. Very important instructions of Babaji Maharaj. I will read that. It's a very important instruction. The divine name of Krishna offers the one and only shelter. One should never try to remember Radha Damodar's transcendental pastimes by artificial methods. Constant chanting of the divine names will purify the heart. By chanting Harinam, the syllables of Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, will gradually reveal the spiritual form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna. Then you will realize your own eternal spiritual form, service, and the 11 particulars of your spiritual identity. The Ekadasha Bhavas. Many Babajis, they want to know the Ekadasha Bhavas now itself, means the different 11 particular aspects of the Siddha Deha now itself. So Prabhupada warns us in Nectar of Devotion. The Siddha Pranali as propagated by the Prakata Sahajyas is not bona fide. Still it is there. So here Babaji Maharaj very clearly tells that the realization of the spiritual self will be revealed by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. From the syllables of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, all those truths will be revealed to a sincere practitioner when the time comes. This is a very important message from Babaji Maharaj. I will just tell one more pastime and we will end. That is, Babaji Maharaj was approached by Bhaktisiddhanta to get initiated because he only had one illustrious disciple, that is Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he approached Gaurakrishnadas Babaji and requested, can I take your shelter? Can you be my guru? Babaji Maharaj said, how is it possible? You are my Prabhu. You are my master. How can I initiate my own master? So Bhaktisiddhanta requested, but he didn't accept. Then second time, he approached again and pleaded to Babaji Maharaj. So Babaji Maharaj said that I will ask Gauranga Mahaprabhu. If he allows, I will accept him. So Bhaktisiddhanta went back. So next time he came back again. Did you ask Gauranga Mahaprabhu? He said, no, I forgot about it. Now next time he said, I will ask Lord Jagannath also. So he said, I will ask Lord Jagannath. If he approves, I will accept you. So Bhaktisiddhanta went back. He again came back. So then also he was not accepting. So it was a very rainy season. Ganges was flowing in full force. And they were near the Ganges, like a bridge kind of area. So he told Babaji Maharaj, if you don't accept me as your disciple, I am going to jump into Ganges and I am going to kill myself. So Babaji Maharaj then understood Bhaktisiddhanta was a sincere soul and he accepted him as his disciple and gave him the name Vashabhanavi Daita Das. Vashabhanavi Daita Das. Vashabhanavi Devi is Radharani. Vrishabhanu is Radharani's father. Vashabhanavi Devi is Radharani. Daita, the lover of Srimati Radharani, that is Krishna. So Vashabhanavi Devi Daita Das. That is the name given by Gaurakrishnadas Babaji to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So this is interesting pastime. And finally, his disappearance from this world. It's mentioned that in 1915, Gaurakrishnadas Babaji left this world from Kulia. He left, still Navadvipa, from her, he left this world. And he joined the eternal pastime of Radha and Krishna. And there is a final one pastime, at the time of death, Babaji Maharaj tells that, take my body after I leave this body and drag this body all around Navadvip Dham so that by the dust of Navadvip Dham my body will get purified. So when he departed, all these Babajis, all assembled, they all told, okay, the final desire of Gaurakrishnadas Babaji was drag his body through the dust of Navadvip Dham. We are going to do that. Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, You can never disrespect a Vaishnava's body even after departure. Out of humility, my Guru Maharaj has instructed in this way, but we shouldn't treat his body like this. So then all the Babajis, they all wanted to construct a samadhi and they wanted to get money out of Babaji Maharaj. They all said, we want his physical remnants, we want to construct samadhi. Bhakti Sarada said, no, I am the only disciple, so I will construct the samadhi for my Guru Maharaj. They said, you are only a brahmachari. That time Bhakti Sarada was only a brahmachari. He said, you are only a brahmachari, so you cannot construct samadhi. Then it became such a big commotion that even the police came. So Bhakti Sarada said, okay, I will solve the problem. He said, in last 6 months, whoever never associated with a woman can touch the body of my spiritual master. And if they are lying, their life will be ruined. Whoever has lived a pure life for last 6 months can come and touch the body of my spiritual master. No one came. Then he said, okay, last 2 months. No one came. He said, okay, last 1 month, no one came. Then last 2 days, no one came. Last 1 day, no one came. Then even the police were surprised that how Bhakti Sananda solved this problem. Then he took the physical remnants and he constructed a samadhi for his Guru Maharaj. So this is Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur and his relation to his divine spiritual master, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And he is, in his eternal pastime, he is Gunamanjari in the spiritual world, assisting the Radharani and Krishna in their eternal pastime. So this is a great day, because it is a disappearance day, the day he actually entered the eternal pastime. So today we will have Pushpanjali for Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and that's why we are fasting half day. Thank you very much. Yes.
I know it's late, but I was hoping you'd tell us how Gaur Kishore Maharaj took shelter of Srila Bhaktivinoda.
Yes. Hare Krishna, it's a very good question. I didn't tell actually. That's a very important point. Babaji Maharaj, that's how he got connected to our parampara, because the Shiksha line, so our parampara is Shiksha line. I was cutting short many things I had the hard knot analysis. So, they had a very unique relationship, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji used to consider Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his guru. And at the same time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to consider, no, I'm learning from this Babaji Maharaj. So they used to have very intimate relationship. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur invited Gaur Kishore Das Babaji to Swananta Sukata Kunj. If you go to Navadvip, Mayapur Navadvip, you cross Jalangi, you go there. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house is there. So there is the hut is there. That is Swananta Sukata Kunj, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to perform his bhajan. So his associate was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So he used to invite Babaji Maharaj. So they used to chant together. They used to discuss about Lord Chaitanya. They used to discuss Bhagavatam. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji accepted his Babaji Vesh from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that's the connection. So he accepted. It is said sometime Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, when one time Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, I am going to take shelter of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So Babaji Maharaj, he will never accept, you know, he's my guru. So one time Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he went and hid himself in the house of a prostitute. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur will never find him, because, you know, he's in the house of a prostitute. No sadhu is going to go into the house of a prostitute. Then after that, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji came out and said, you know, yeah, I cheated him, he couldn't find me. So there was a very intimate, loving relationship between Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So they used Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he actually took instruction from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also accepted the Babaji wish. So that is the connection.
So that's why, and I know that Srila Bhaktivinoda Prabhupada made that disciplic list. So he listed,
yes,
Gaur Kishore before his father.
Yes.
Is it in Shastra that you cannot take a picture from your father? It must have been, because Bhaktivinoda said you must take initiation from Gaur Kishore.
I haven't heard any instruction as such, because when you see Srimad Bhagavatam, Rishabdev instructing his sons. Rishabdev was the spiritual master of all the exalted Vaishnavas and the top one, Bharat Maharaj. So there he instructs them on devotional service, and we quoted the verse of Rishabdev, Nunam Pramata Kurude Vikarma today. So we can see it is possible to have that connection from the look of it. I haven't read particularly any negation as such, but yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Gokisho Das Babaji Maharaj Radha Mahotsav ki Srila Prabhupada ki.